If ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. Or in other terms, it doesn't make sense to gain so much knowledge because you'll be sacrificing your own happiness. Something I've talked about briefly in a few of my past videos regarding the mental state of younger generations is that, in my opinion, part of the reason we're all so depressed is because we know about so many depressing things. Stuff that before social media and the 24-hour news cycle, we would not have really known about or been exposed to. And as a brief topical example, war. In the past, during wars, the information that people had about what was happening was definitely limited. Now, people have smartphones, and they are able to upload the graphic truth constantly, instantly, all the time. And learning about that is painful, especially when you see it so often and there's no sugarcoating. On the one hand, you want to be informed and educated about society and what's going on in the world. But on the other hand, it can be anxiety-inducing. So today, I want to talk about ignorance and if it is really bliss. So are more intelligent people less happy? Generally, there's actually quite a bit of research that supports the idea that being more educated or more intelligent leads to higher life satisfaction, so going against the idea that ignorance is bliss. However, smarter people are not happier because they're smart or well-informed. They're happier because having a higher IQ or higher emotional intelligence makes you more likely to be successful and make good money. And money can certainly buy a level of happiness. It can buy you medical care to keep you healthy. It can buy you vacations and entertainment, fun activities on the weekends, and also, therefore, maybe a stronger social life than someone with a lower income. When you control for income level in these studies, there is no longer a correlation between being smarter leading to being happier. In fact, in certain situations, it actually showed smarter people were less happy. For example, in this study, they found that during the pandemic, less intelligent people became more satisfied with their lives, and more intelligent people became less satisfied. And it doesn't take being a scientist or researcher to piece together why. When there are complex, global, imminent threats to society, smarter, educated people feel discouraged when their less intelligent peers remain ignorant or refuse to cooperate with the requests of experts. When you don't really get the severity or devastating costs of climate change, it's easy to never feel sad about it. And when you don't understand the pervasiveness of systemic punishment against poverty, having never learned about it or never experienced it, it's pretty easy to never let it get you down. It never even enters your mind. Also, there's some evidence to show that ignorance feeds on itself. So, like, if you are unaware of a negative social issue and then you become a little aware of it, you want to avoid learning more about it. So, with that in mind, this is kind of my prediction of where people would land on a happiness scale. Smart people who are stuck in a disadvantaged environment, so they're painfully aware of how helpless they are, depressed. Most angry would be less intelligent people who kind of start with a bad hand in life and then they make poor choices because they don't know any better and then they can't understand why they end up with shitty consequences and they're mad at the world. And finally, most blissful, not too intelligent and in a privileged environment, enjoying all the benefits of life and shielded from learning about the worst parts. Occasionally, with people that I know or comments on my videos, people will tell me to toughen up or to lighten up and that I just need to stop thinking about these negative topics. Just look on the bright side. And I know that this sentiment comes with the best of intentions, but personally, it has the opposite effect on me. Instead, it feels a lot like toxic positivity. And this isn't an official psychological term or anything, but when someone has legitimate, rational concerns about a negative situation and they're dismissed or minimized, it leads to future harm. So that's what I'm talking about when happiness or positivity can be toxic. When happiness is pushed to replace those negative thoughts rather than dealing with them. And there's power in positive thinking, don't get me wrong, but when you learn the dark truth behind an industry, for example, pushing it out of your mind or ignoring it and continuing to believe that chickens live on a happy farm with green pastures with their families for a long life until one day they're painlessly killed. Continuing to believe that perpetuates the problems of animal agriculture and factory farming, just as one example. I really like watching documentaries, exposés, if you will, but a lot of times I do come away from them feeling sad or upset, and I've learned about something, and it'll often propel me to learn even more. And in the beginning, I'll be angry about this horrible thing that I'm now aware of. But those feelings and knowledge have also motivated me to make a variety of decisions to stop supporting things that are causing harm. I wanted to be a part of the change, no matter how small, no matter how stupid that sounds, in something that I saw wrong with the world. When I reflect on my values, I'm glad that I picked the truth rather than moving on in ignorance. I do try not to dwell on the negative things that I've learned and not go out of my way to watch even more documentaries about things that I know will be painful for me to see because I've already educated myself, and I'm happy that I'm doing what I can. Positivity can be a motivator. But it can also slide people into contentment. When you think about people throughout history who have made real change, a lot of them were labeled and still are as angry people. That passion behind understanding the state of things and wanting to see society improve can fuel revolution. Part of this whole conversation is about values and what you would choose to place over another. Learning the truth or being a little happier and life feeling a little easier, even if it means ignorance. But it is less of a choice now compared to it was for past generations. When we think about the news and information around us, there have been various studies to show that negative content is becoming more severe. So going from like local fire leaves five dead to now grizzly fire rips through innocent town, kills five, more injured, is arson to blame, as well as angry and fearful and depressing stories becoming more frequent and happy news disappearing. And unfortunately, it seems like the main cause of this is not because the news wants the population to be depressed or sad. It's because they want to make money. And I know a lot of people want to pin the media as these evil companies who want to control the public. But I think the mental health effects of negative news are more of a side effect rather than their main priority. There are for-profit businesses, and there has been plenty of research to back up the fact that negative news headlines grab people's attention more. And if you grab people's attention more, you get more money. You get more people on the site. You get more ad views. They want to make a profit. Even though people will say that they would rather read about more positive news, in reality, our actual behavior shows that we are not drawn to those as much. And it's so easy to get sucked into doom scrolling because If you're part of the over 90% of Americans who are on social media, you don't have to go searching for negative news at all. It just appears as soon as you open up any app on your phone. It's right there. Instead of having to keep up with the news or what's going on in your area or areas far away from you, you'd have to go out of your way nowadays to try and avoid it. It's harder to be ignorant. It can be done, but at this point, it's getting tough to not learn about the terrible shit that's happening. Especially when there is like actually big news happening, like during the height of the pandemic. There was this whole big crazy thing going on in the world that people didn't understand, so you turned to the media even more often than normal to try and understand what's going on. And unfortunately, the more we were exposed to the news, it came with the highest rates of anxiety and depression. I know so far I haven't really acknowledged misinformation. And I don't believe that just because someone reads the news or is very up to date on current events, that that means that they're smart and that they're correct, or that what they've learned is true, because there is bad info out there. And compared to past generations, I think I would actually rather have a certain percent of the population be ignorant and doing absolutely nothing about climate change, rather than thinking that they do know about it and actively fighting against eco-friendly policies because they think it's a big hoax perpetuated by Big Green. It's the whole double-edged sword of the age of information and the internet. It's now easier than ever to learn about the horrible actions of corporations, and up until this point, they've been able to hide it pretty well, and nowadays it's much harder. So you can learn about it and then maybe strike if you work there or boycott them as a response being a consumer. Learn new information, act accordingly to align with your values. It's also easier than ever to learn about the deep state or flat earth and other things like that and believe them to be true. Certain people are particularly susceptible to conspiracies, especially people who feel that they're not accepted already, or that they're alienated, like people who live in a rural area, or those who are above a certain age, people with a lower level of education. These people are well informed, up to date, regularly consuming media, but the information served up to them can be dangerous if it's a load of conspiracies. Instead of being apathetic or ignorant, they are fueled by the passion of knowledge and anger, but often in the wrong direction. Funny enough, there is still that same relationship between knowledge and happiness. Like, if you imagine someone on the left who is very aware about their issues, and someone on the right who is very aware about their issues, whether or not one or both of them do or don't have the truth, they both can appear pretty unhappy. People who know true things and people who know false things are both stressed out about all the negative information that they know, regardless of if what they know is accurate. If you're going to be anxious and stressed out and motivated to work towards a certain cause, I really hope that cause is legit. And that's why critical thinking skills and education are so unbelievably important. I also want to talk about why it can feel so hard to be happy aside from your knowledge level, aside from your environment. Humans feel happiness less intensely than negative emotions. So that's why, like, if you go out wearing a certain outfit and a couple people compliment you about how good it looks, and then one person whispers to their friend and they point and they laugh and they say how embarrassing you look. That negative interaction is the one that sticks with you. One negative interaction is strong enough to overtake the multiple positive ones that you had earlier. It's easy to cancel out the good feelings with just a small amount of bad ones, which is why it's so easy for such a small amount of anxiety or depression to feel like it's taking over your whole life, and why it takes such a huge amount of happiness to feel like you are living a happy life. A good state of mental health is not just the absence of illness. It's about the whole psychological well-being, reaching those higher tiers on the hierarchy of needs. And those are the hardest ones to achieve. Reaching self-actualization is a mountain of a task. Becoming truly happy will not come without significant effort. I really love that there has been a growth of therapy in recent years because thinking about emotions and processing your feelings with the help of a professional, it's not perfect, but it can often lead to higher life satisfaction and making a plan to enjoy your life more. A lot of this self-reflection can be accomplished between close relationships, giving advice between friends to gain mental clarity, but friendships are harder to come by these days. And while I do think that there are bad therapists out there, I think that they're the exception and not the rule. And as social creatures, we do need some sort of interpersonal outlet. As great as I think therapy is, despite having a few bad experiences with it personally, it's not enough to fix the bigger problems. Working on self-esteem is a great achievement, but with the current state of poverty and healthcare and education in America, so many people are stuck on those lower tiers of food, shelter, employment. Understanding what makes you depressed and what makes you happy is never a bad thing, but it's not enough on its own. We need to address the societal barriers to happiness. And I know that's an enormous task. But much like a past therapist told me, we have to break it down into small steps. And doing something is better than nothing. The first step is to know the problem, even if it might mean unhappiness in the short term, in order to fix it for happiness in the long term. There's a lot of different ways that people respond to learning negative things about society. Some people turn away, continue living life as normal, pretend they didn't learn it. Others feel emboldened to be a part of the change, to join a cause, to fix things. And some people don't turn away from the knowledge, but they consume it and let it defeat them and slip into nihilism. The path goes something like this. I learned about this corporation that had a PR nightmare because people found out they were manipulating underserved mothers to buy formula instead of breastfeed in order to make a quick buck. And they never really suffered the consequences. And then I learned about a bunch of other things. And then I learned about this guy. And he made a million mistakes, and he never apologized for them. And he hurt people and made fun of people, just a big bully. And he was rewarded by becoming the president. And then I learned so much more. And then I did some research into why it's so hard to break out of poverty in this country. And it's because of these traditions and these lack of social safety nets and the deep roots of racism, and no matter what I do, these terrible things will likely persist long after I'm gone. What's the point? All these problems are so complex, and there are these people who are so evil, and I'm so overwhelmed, and I'm exhausted, and I'm depressed because I feel like nothing matters. Life has no point. Life is the point. There is this really great quote by Ricky Gervais. Once you realize you're not going to be around forever, that's what makes life so magical. If life is all there is, that makes it more meaningful, not less. I'm going to link a great video about nihilism in the video description if you're interested in learning more about that topic, because I'm really just going to scratch the surface here at the end. There is no meaning of life. Life is the meaning. To learn and to laugh and to have fun and to do the right thing. Life is the meaning. I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but this is a really hard concept to try and explain. And you hope one day that it just clicks for you. And if you have fallen into that hole of feeling totally burdened by knowing about a thousand bad things, that you can make the journey out from nihilism to wisdom and continue learning and deciding to pursue both knowledge and happiness at the same time. Understanding that you make your own values and you get out of life what you want to. Got a little deep there at the end. I hope you enjoyed this video. I hope it made you think, and thanks for watching.